Unfortunately, this morning, you're in trouble. Okay. I have two titles for my messages, and they both kind of are similar but different. And so, you know, I got two ways to go. Not sure which way I want to go with it yet. But the title is either whichever one you like. What's in a name? Or would you believe? What's in a name, or would you believe? I have a little video I want you to see this morning. Now, this, don't get offended. You might think this doesn't belong in church, but it kind of gives the point that I want to make here in this message. Those of you that are older might recognize this. Would you believe it? Would you believe it? Would you believe it if I said I was going to give everybody in this congregation this morning a $100 bill? Yeehaw! How many would believe it? Would you believe it if I said I was going to preach for an hour? How many would believe that? Wait a minute, same guy doing the same thing. And what are you talking about here? There are times that we believe things just because of who says it or who does it or what they say. But there's also times that we don't believe, you know, on who says it, who does it, and what it is. And so this morning I'm going to talk about a person that we're all familiar with. Not the one that's sitting back in the back, my buddy, but Doubting Thomas. How many have ever heard of Doubting Thomas? Are you a Doubting Thomas? If you're a Doubting Thomas this morning, raise your hand. Would you believe? We're going to talk about Doubting Thomas this morning and what's in a name, okay? And what is in a name? You know, what do we associate with Doubting Thomas? That was a question, folks. He doubted what? He doubted Jesus' resurrection. Did he? Did he? We have to take a close look at that. He doubted. And so when I asked how many were Doubting Thomases, I got about three people to put their hands up, okay? There was a poll taken several years back, and this poll was taken among Roman Catholic churches, among mainline Protestant churches, and also among the Jewish synagogues. And the poll said, how many people within, don't worry about them. Hey, leave him go. He's fine. You want to help me? No, you're going to be afraid of me. Most kids are afraid of me, so don't worry about that. Even my wife's afraid of me at times. You know, here we have a poll that was taken, and this poll was taken in churches, Protestant, Catholic, and Jewish. Okay? The question simply was, do you believe that God exists? What do you think the response was there? Yes? No. I didn't ask you what should be the answer. I said, what do you think the response was? All right, percentage-wise, how many of you think believed out of those three, Roman Catholic, mainline Protestant, Jewish religions, how many people, percentage-wise, do you think said, we believe God exists? Should be 99. Should be 100. Yeah, these are people in church, folks. Huh? It actually was 70%. That means 30% said, we have doubts. They're in church. They're people that are regulars within their denomination going to church, and 30% of the people said, we have doubts that God exists. Isn't that I think I heard unbelievable. Is that what I heard? I didn't hear it. I read the lips. So, folks, you got to understand, I'm deaf in one ear, so if you say something under your breath that you don't want me to understand, be careful, because I do read lips. All right, let's look at John this morning. John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. John 20, 19 through 31. When therefore it was evening on the day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples therefore were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus therefore said to them again, peace be unto you, as the Father hath sent me, even so I send you. When he had said this, he breathed on them, and he saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven unto them. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto him, except I see his hands and the prints of his nails and put my finger into them, I will not believe. I will not believe. So thus we give him the name Doubting Thomas. Okay? What's in the name? Okay. Lonnie, if I call Lonnie the truck driver, Lonnie the cement truck driver, is that his name? But can you associate that with Lonnie? Why? Huh? He drives cement trucks. How many knew Lonnie drove cement truck? Yeah, see, Lonnie drives cement truck. And if I tell you that Joe the engineer, we know Joe's an engineer, right? And of course, you know, we believe it. We believe it, right? And if I say Reverend Bartmus, we all assume that he was a reverend, right? Dr. Crow, he's a doctor. What's in a name? Typically, names associate events or items within a person's lives. Those little nicknames are kind of associations. I don't share this very often, but my dad had a nickname for me when I was getting a little older. My dad was a very, very mechanically inclined person, okay? He was a race car driver. He loved to build his own cars. He raced on, you guys might remember Mercer and all those old tracks and stuff that they raced. And he used to race, and very mechanically gifted. I mean, he could do anything mechanically that you could imagine. If it involved using your hands, he was good at it. All right. Now, at that point in my life, I was probably, I was 285 when I graduated high school, so I was a big guy all my life. I was not very mechanically inclined. A lot of it was, you be that size, it's tough to get into small places. And, you know, they don't build cars with a whole lot of space that you get in and work around. You know, they fill every space. Today, it's even worse. You know, I mean, you open up the hood of a car today and you're looking, it's like, what is going on here? You know, you can't tell anything. Okay, I was not very mechanically inclined. Well, how many remember the old show, Archie Bunker? All in the family. Who was Archie Bunker's son-in-law? Meathead. My dad used to call me Meathead because every time he wanted me to do something mechanically inclined, I didn't do it very well. But ask me anything going on in the math world or the science world or stuff like that, I was very smart, you know. So I was very, very intelligent, but not very mechanical. So my dad used to call me Meathead, okay? Now, Meathead was because if you look at Archie Bunker, Bunker's son-in-law, he was a college graduate, but to Archie, he was a meathead. Right? He couldn't do common things. So you wouldn't call me Dennis the garage builder. You might call me Dennis the ladder faller offer. You know. But we get associated with things. And so we get associated with Thomas and his name. And ever since this event, what do people call him? Doubting Thomas. But was Thomas really a doubter? I asked you, is there anybody here that at times doesn't doubt something? Yeah, most of you doubted that it was true where I said I was going to give you all a $100 bill. Right? I actually was going to put in an envelope a piece of paper that said, you owe Dennis $100 for this bill for services rendered. And then say, I'll give one lucky person a $100 bill. Huh? You wouldn't have liked that one, right? You'd have liked it if it was another $100 bill. Not if I gave you a bill for $100. See, what's in a name? A $100 bill can be money that you give to somebody or something that you have to pay because you got some sort of service, right? But when I said about I was going to give everybody a $100 bill, y'all thought, oh, that would be great. It would be great for me if I gave you a $100 bill. If y'all had to give me $100, that'd be a great thing for me. See, you have to look at both sides. And so let's take a little bit of a look at Thomas, and let's take a look at what and who and why Thomas acted as he did. Okay, Thomas said, unless I see and touch, I will not believe. Was he doubting God? Was he? Or was he doubting the disciples that told him what they had seen? Can you imagine? Here, Thomas comes to the disciples and they said, we saw Jesus. We saw his nail prints. We were able to touch his hands. Did Thomas doubt God? Or did he say, well, unless I can do the same thing, I'm not going to believe you. See, you have to look at the whole scenario there. Thomas wasn't with them. This was about a week after the resurrection. Thomas, when we look at Thomas and his life, you have to understand what he was all about. The story of Thomas is only found in this book of John. Okay? What was John's basic theme throughout his whole book? Believe. Whosoever believes, you know, you must believe. And so when you look at John, John's whole life was based around his belief and his faith. Now, was Thomas a man of faith if he didn't believe these other guys? And he said, I'm not going to believe you until I do it. You know? It's a tough situation to look at and say, did he really doubt? Well, let's kind of look at his life. If you go and you look back at his scripture and you look back the first time we see Thomas in John's book, and I don't have this on the screen, so you have to bear with me here. Is when you look at John 11:16, okay, and what we see here, Jesus had just spoken about his death and what was going to happen, and he said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, I'll wake him out of his sleep. Disciples therefore said unto him, if he's fallen asleep, why worry about it? He'll recover. And Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he spoke of taking rest and sleep. Jesus therefore said to him plain, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, I'll go with him. And Thomas, which is called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. See, Jesus said, well, there was a chance that Jesus was going to be persecuted by going to Lazarus, okay? And so he said, if I was there, it might have been other problems. But he said, now I'm going. And Thomas was the first one. First words out of his mouth, he said, let us go with Jesus so that we may die with him. Boy, that's a man of doubt, huh? That's a man of doubt. That's a guy I wouldn't want to be like. I don't want to be going with Jesus so I could die with him. See, how many knew that about Thomas? How many knew that he was the one that said, let's go with Jesus so we can die with him? Huh? Did you know that? No, you just heard that he was a doubter because you know in the 20th. Well, what else? Okay, well, let's look at John 14:6. In John 14, see, again, this is where we find Thomas. The only references to Thomas. We got Jesus there. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I come again and will receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you may be also. Whither I go, you will know the way. Thomas, being the type of man he was, looks at Jesus and says, how are we going to go? Because we don't have any clue where you're going. Oh, wait. He questioned Jesus. He wanted to know the full information. He just wasn't sitting back and saying, he says, I don't know where you're going. Now, the other one spoke up and said, well, you know, they just kind of sit there and said, yeah, okay, you know, all right, he's rambling on again. You know, sometimes Jesus says some things that we don't understand, but we let him ramble. We let him. Thomas says, hey, I don't understand what you're talking about. Can you fill me in? And he says, I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the way, the truth, the life. He said, so, you know, when Thomas asked him, Jesus' response was, you can't come to God but by me. I am the way, the truth, the life. So when you look and you see the other references to Thomas in John's scripture, we see a man of great faith. We see a man who wants to be part of Jesus' life and wants to be part of his death and wants to be part of his mission. Okay? And he wants to understand. What do you want? What do you want from us, Jesus? What really are you saying here? What do you want? You know? And so, you know, we don't see a lot of reference here, but when I asked you how many of you wanted to be like, were like doubting Thomas really wasn't a doubter. He didn't doubt God. He doubted that he had some doubts. You know, have you ever said, I'll believe it when I see it? How many here have ever said that statement on something? I will believe it when I see it. Why? If I tell you something and you trust me, that's the first thing, you have to trust me. If I tell you something, why do you say, well, I'll believe it when I see it myself? Why would you say that? It's a trust issue. You know, Thomas, it wasn't that Thomas was doubting God. It was that Thomas was saying, wait a minute. Your guys are all telling me you saw Jesus and you did this. Well, when I get to do it, I'll really believe. But I'm not going to believe it until I get to do it. He's not saying he doesn't believe that Christ was resurrected. He's not saying that he has doubts in God, that God was, you know, doing. He says, I'll really believe it when I have a chance to witness it. I'll really believe it when I can do it. You know? And we all live our lives at some times in that way. And so what we have done as a body of believers over history, we have called Thomas a doubter. But Thomas is no different than anyone rest of us. We have doubts at times. We have doubts at times. Have you ever prayed for something and had a little doubt that it could really happen? Huh? Why? You know? Do you have faith? What is faith? How do we get faith? How do we exercise faith? You know, faith is what? Faith, believing in the things that you have not seen. So guess what? If any of you have ever once not believed something that you hadn't seen for yourself, that means you're a doubting Thomas. You're just like Thomas, because see, that's what he said. Thomas understood what Jesus had said. But Thomas wanted to see the proof. You know why? He wanted to be with Jesus again. He wanted to be. He was like, oh, wow, man, I missed out on this. I'm not going to believe it until it happens to me, too. Right? See, that was what Thomas's thought process was. Not that he doubted God, not that he doubted Jesus, but he had doubts in his mind about the future. He had doubts in his mind about what had happened. These disciples had all walked away from Jesus as he was being crucified, hadn't they? They had walked with him for 3 years. Do you think that caused some anguish in their hearts? You think that caused something for them at times where they said, man, did I really love Jesus as I said I loved him? I said I was willing to die with him, but man, I went away when he was dying. There was hurt. There was anger. There was frustration. There was confusion. And so Thomas says, I'll believe it when I see it. See, he didn't doubt God a bit. Thomas was a man of faith. Now, I want you to understand, faith is something we have to work on, okay? Do you ever have enough faith? Faith is something that gets built, okay? Faith is something that gets built. Because, see, it's faith is saying, I believe in things that I don't see. That's hard. That's hard to do, okay? So, how do we build up our faith? Our faith is built up through many things. First off, at times our faith is built through other Christians. They have seen, or they have done, or they, you know, do you have faith in God when you hear someone say, I went into the hospital and I come out and I was good? Does that help your faith say, well, if God did it for her, he can do it for me too? Huh? Another one says, I'm good. Yeah. That encourages us. That builds our faith. We build our faith through the Word of God as we read things. And all of a sudden something, yeah, I know you've all probably done this, but it's amazing to me how you can read a scripture 6,000 times and 6,000 first time it says something totally different to you. That's how God opens His Word to help us build faith. Unfortunately, what happens is a lot of us build our faith on things that are not solid. Because, see, we don't understand faith. We don't understand what it is. Thomas understood faith, okay? Thomas understood that, hey, I've got to do certain things. But Thomas also doubted when his friends told him, hey, we got to do this. I don't know that Thomas is, when he said, I'll believe it when I see it, if his real issue was, I'm jealous, man. They got, and I wasn't there. Have you ever been part of a group where they got tremendously blessed on something and you weren't there and you said, man, you know, that I missed out. And so Thomas may have been thinking, I missed out. Okay, well, I'll believe, you know. And what was the first thing Jesus did when he came back to Thomas, when Thomas saw him? He said, hey, Thomas, here, go ahead. Look, touch, okay? You can believe it now. Here I am. And Thomas was happy. He got to experience what the others had. So we have to be careful when we look at what's in the name. Because, see, We can peg somebody with a name that's not right. Like Doubting Thomas. Because if you want to be honest, we could say Doubting Ann, Doubting Roland, Doubting Janine, Doubting Georgia. We could ride around the room. Because guess what? Everybody has a time in their life when they have some doubts. Doubt is not a sin. Doubt is not a bad thing. Doubt is part of our human nature, okay? But some of those doubts, when those doubts get realized, that we finally realize them as truth, what happens is our faith gets even stronger. Our faith gets stronger. We want to be careful that as we walk through life, that when God shows us something, we don't stand back and say, oh, I doubt that that's true. 30% of people in organized religious organizations. Now, I'm going to tell you, I do want to clarify something. That's 30% overall. Okay? 60% of Jews said they were not sure God existed. Okay? 50% of Catholics said they weren't sure God existed. So you can see the mainline Protestant churches, some of them had a little better percentage. But when you look at that aspect, the reason that has happened is they have built their faith on the wrong things. A few years back, there was a pastor said that his youth group and read the book, The Da Vinci Code. If you are not a really, really strong Christian, the Da Vinci Code can confuse you. The Da Vinci Code can bring some things in your life. And after that, there was 40% of his youth group were now confused about whether God existed or whether God didn't exist or whether he existed in the light that they thought he existed. We sometimes build our relationship with God based on the wrong things. And we based on those things. So we have to make sure that we understand what it is when we're looking at the whole picture. Our goal is not to have doubts about the things of God, but to search out the answers. Thomas, if I told you, all right, I want you guys to meet me this afternoon for lunch, okay? How many want to go to lunch? All right. We all like to eat, right? Okay, meet me for lunch. I'll buy. You figure out where I'm going. I'll bet somebody would come up and say, where are we going? Huh? Right? See, we have to build these things, you know, on things that we can understand. Thomas understood Christ. Thomas was upset at himself, at his fellow disciples, at the world. But Thomas also said, when Christ revealed himself to him, anybody know what Thomas said? My Lord and my God. Can you say that and really not believe? Huh? Can you say that and really be a doubter? My Lord and my God. Do you know? Maybe you don't. That's a dumb question. If I ask you, do you know? Because I'm going to give you a piece of information that I'm assuming you probably don't know. Right? So when I ask that question, it is kind of a dumb question, because if you knew it, I wouldn't have to share it with you. But do you know, in the disciples aspect, okay, and the Jewish aspect, and that, for Thomas to say, my Lord and my God, as he said it in that statement, do you know what that meant? He was subjecting himself to death, because that was blasphemy in the Jewish religion to say that to anybody on this earth. And that immediately you were subject to death. That was the extreme blasphemy. You think Thomas cared? No. See, he loved Jesus so much. And he didn't doubt Jesus, and he didn't doubt God. He loved Jesus so much that he was willing to stand there and say, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. He recognized Christ for whom he truly was in that moment. And he said, I want everybody else to understand too. Okay? So guess what, folks? If somebody says to you, you're a doubting Thomas, it's not all bad. Because Thomas was very faithful, very devout, and very strong. Okay? He just wanted the same opportunity others had. We always are like that, right? We get jealous. We get jealous of each other. You know, you look at somebody's car and say, boy, I wish I had a car like that. You know, I told Glenn, I sure wish he'd get his 66 Pontiac done, because I'd like to drive it. And he said, fat chance. I said, could you adopt me as your son and then leave me that car? And he said, fat chance, I'd probably have to shoot you first. So I guess I'm not, I'm really concerned to ask him one day, all right, Glenn, now you got it fixed up. Will you give me a ride in it? Because I don't know that Glenn can push the clutch, and I'd be in real trouble. Or the brake. Echo Power brakes on it? Oh, okay, then that's good. Some of those old cars didn't have power brakes, and you know what you got to do on them. You got to stomp them. But we look around and we, at times we say, man, I would like to have that. That's all that Thomas did there. He saw the other disciples and they had got to see Jesus face to face. They had seen his hands. They had seen the nail prints. They had touched his body. And Thomas says, I want to do it too. So he said, I'll believe it when I get to see it. Not that he was doubting God. He was like, I want to do it. And I think it was befitting that the first thing Jesus said, well, here, Thomas, go ahead. Go ahead, Thomas. You think the first thing he had said was, Thomas, you had doubts? No, he said, Thomas, here, go ahead. Touch, look. And Thomas said, my Lord, my God. What's in a name? It's what we make it. I doubt those around him called him Doubting Thomas. See, we call him Doubting Thomas because of how we've read the scripture. And most of us probably don't even know the other stories that John told about Thomas. Because the only one we remember is, oh, Thomas, yeah, that's the guy that doubted that Jesus is resurrected. He doubted him. Understand, doubt is part of life. It's not always bad. It can be. But we don't want to saddle people with a philosophy based on things we see. But we really got to know them and know their heart. We see Thomas's heart. Thomas's heart was, my Lord and my God. I'm willing to stand up and die right now because I said that. Because that's what he was saying is, my Lord, my God, I am willing to be put to death for my stand for you. That's how sincere doubting Thomas was. So when you think about Thomas in the future, maybe we ought to say, he's willing, Thomas. He was willing to die. He was willing to ask the tough question. And he was willing to identify himself as a person who truly believed that Jesus was the Son of God. He truly believed. Would you believe? That's what it's all about. Do we truly believe? Do we truly? Thomas, I'm gonna put in a petition to change his name from Doubting Thomas to Willing Thomas. He was willing. Yeah, some of you are chuckling. You're still going to call him Doubting Thomas the next time somebody says about Thomas. Oh, Doubting Thomas. But you might stop and think and say, wow, you know, what's in his name? What's in his name? Thomas was a man of faith who loved God and who loved Christ. He just wanted to see him one more time. He wanted to see him and be part of Christ's life one more time. Just like the other guys got to. You know? I don't know that his motives were 100% pure. But his love was 100% pure. He loved God with all his heart. And was willing to say, my Lord and my God.